Thank you. Good morning. This is a lot of people for Sunday morning at 10:30, but I'm glad it's not so hot as it would have been any other time, so I feel kind of lucky. So hi, I'm Paul. I am not a car person. I don't own a car. I don't even particularly like cars, and I cycled here all the way from London. Thank you. Turns out there are a lot of hills. But nonetheless, I'm really fascinated by number plates. And, you know, in any other setting, this might seem like a really kind of neurodivergent talk, but at EMF, it's probably not even in the top 10. Also, I am very much not a slideshow person, so I don't know how templates work. Most of this is just the default Pandoc template, so, you know, but there's no AI. All right, so first of all, this talk is an attempt to answer the question, how hard can it be to put an identifier on a vehicle? But first we have to ask, what is a number plate? Well, it's a plate with a number, Libya, seen in Margate. Or letters, maybe a flag, and a sticker or two, or a coat of arms. But what is a letter anyway, or a digit? And this is what, I'm sorry it's blurry, but when I saw this in Beijing, I just had to get the photo. Sometimes things have no meaning outside of the Western context. So yeah, number plates are a misnomer, really. They're a mixture of letters and numbers. They're also called license plates, registration plates, I think REGOs in Australia. Wikipedia goes for vehicle registration plates, but we call them number plates here, so I'll stick to that. They came into being around the turn of the 20th century to identify the new and ever-increasing phenomenon of the motor vehicle. They've sort of converged over time, but there are still many national and regional differences. So what is a number plate for? Well, there's a few reasons. Tolls, some of the earliest ones were used for tolling crossing a park in Lyon. They're used for taxation. Some places reissue them every year. Some places put stickers on them. They can be used for insurance. Like in Germany, smaller vehicles get a license plate that's issued by the insurer, and every year that's changed and has a different color. But also, they exist because of bad driving. So we can look at why they were first introduced here in the UK. So here's a brief history of number plates in the UK. In 1903, there were about 5,000 motor vehicles in the UK. And moving the second reading of the Motor Cars Bill in the House of Commons on the 4th of August, 1903, Walter Long, the MP for Bristol South, said, "I am not a motorist. The other day, I was driving a horse conveyance along the road when a motor car came suddenly around the corner and nearly drove into my horse and was quickly away while I was attending to my horse, which, naturally, was very restless. Had this particular car been numbered, I could quite easily have taken that number and summoned the owner of the car, who paid no attention either to me or to my difficulties." And in closing, he said, "We facilitate the identification of the offender. We provide extra penalties and imprisonment. I believe that is the surest way for dealing with what is unquestionably a serious abuse." So what did these first number plates look like? You will have seen them around. Here's one from the field. It had up to two letters for the local authority and then up to four digits. GS and V were reserved for Scotland. I and Z were reserved for Ireland and still are, the whole of Ireland. And when an area ran out of letters, they took the next available prefix. But this meant that this happened a lot in London and Middlesex, and so pretty soon a new scheme was needed because they had no more prefixes. So in Great Britain only, because Ireland still had plenty left, they added an extra serial letter in front of existing two-letter codes and stuck to three numbers afterwards. They excluded controversial letter combinations like sex, bum, God, and after a few years, when someone pointed out to the people in Whitehall that Welsh existed, do for God in Welsh as well. No I, Z, or Q. Q was for temporary plates, and I and Z are for Ireland. But you'll see this as a running theme. No one predicted how many cars there were going to be, and they keep running out. So we get to the 1950s, running out again. So just reverse the previous two schemes, either up to four digits and two letters, or three digits and three letters. But no, that still wasn't enough. So in the 1963, we get a new scheme, which is the same as the 1932 scheme, plus a year letter. And then from 1967, they changed the point in the year where this was changed from the start of the year to August to placate the motor trade, who wanted people to stop buying all their cars in January. I guess they just bought them all in August instead. And the color changed to black on white and yellow, optionally from 1967, and mandatory mandatorily from 1973. They excluded the letters I, O, Q, U, and Z from the suffix, which meant, obviously, this is only good for a couple of decades. So, predictably, in 1982, they ran out and they reversed the old scheme. But again, this would only have lasted for a couple of decades, except in 1999, they changed it to twice a year, again, to placate the motor trade, who were upset that everyone was buying their cars in August. But they were already on S by this point, so that brings us to the current system, the 2001 scheme, which has introduced a new mandatory typeface that was slightly narrower in order to permit the EU strip, RIP, added some small changes to the font to make it harder to falsify, and this one has two letters for location, which is called the memory tag, two digits for the year, kind of, plus 50 for the second half of the year, and they call that the age identifier. There's three letters of sequence, which they call, in an affront to mathematics, random letters. No, they're not random letters, they're issued in sequence. And it has the nice thing that it's visually similar to the previous system, but because they preserve leading zeros, there's no ambiguity. So L003 can't be confused with L3, for example. And we can also use O as a letter, though not I still. This should last until 2049, so we're halfway there already. What will they do then? Reverse the scheme again? Who knows? Meanwhile, in Ireland, not so many people, not so many cars. Around 1926, they were running out of prefixes, and it was split prefixes between the Free State and the North, Northern Ireland. And they both evolved in the same way, added an extra letter in Northern Ireland. And in fact, Irish number plates followed this system until 1987. And until then, you could transfer an Irish number plate to the UK. So what about the length of these things? Now, how many characters do you actually need? In principle, if you just had an arbitrary scheme with letters and numbers, take out I and O because they're ambiguous, you could have 34 possible values, 1.5 billion number plates in six characters, 52 billion in seven characters. You know, surely seven digits ought to be enough for anybody. But of course, there's waste. There's waste because people want to put the location on. I don't know exactly why. They seem to like the idea of being able to spot people from outside the area. We get the year or the half year, which seems to be solely there to appease car salesmen. There's also the impact of legacy schemes. You always need to avoid the overlap with the previous scheme. And to worry about partial recall, you know, in the case of crime and accidents. But here's a real-life example. So I took this photo in County Galway a few years ago. Two cars next to each other. Great Britain, 67 million people, seven characters. Ireland, about 5.5 million in the Republic, nine characters. So what's going on here? Well, if we break it down, I won't go through all the detail here, but basically, the Irish system uses two digits of the year and one or two for the first or second half of the year. So that's one whole place for a single bit of information. And then it uses one or two letters for the country or city, up to five digits in sequence, but fortunately, only Dublin and Cork, who have single letter prefixes, need five digits. But when we work out all the maths, we end up with 3.2 bits per symbol for the Irish system and 4.2 bits per symbol for the British system. And that small difference makes a big change in the length of number plate you need. Russia, however, has the opposite problem. Russian registrations are really short. And it's quite a populous country, although there's not quite as many cars per unit per population as maybe the UK. So Russian registrations have a letter, three digits, and two letters, followed by a code for the locality. But as there are only 12 possible letters, we'll get to that later, this gives a maximum of 1.7 million combinations per administrative unit. So populous areas need multiple codes. There are 10 for Moscow City, 6 for Moscow Oblast, 4 for St. Petersburg, and even so, they were still going to run out soon. So they've just started reusing the old ones and made it so you no longer have to re-register when you move to a new, when you re-register with a new owner in a different region. Right, so what is registered? Generally we think it's the vehicle, but sometimes trailers. However, in Belgium, it's the vehicle, as owner, who is registered. So from 1925 to 1973, Belgian registrations were five characters long. Compulsory driving tests were only introduced in 1977. So every five-digit plate is someone who never passed a practical test. Watch out. So that brings us to driving abroad. The first international agreement to this was the 1909 convention with respect to the international circulation of motor vehicles, required a number plate of its own nationality, pretty vague. The country mark oval at the year, oval at the rear that we still see today, has no opinion whatsoever on a number plate format. After the First World War, we get the next convention, which is the 1926 International Convention Relative to Motor Traffic, which says that the registration number must be allocated by the competent authority. There must be a country marker at the rear. It must be lit up at night. Still, no opinion on what a registration looks like. After the Second World War, we get a slightly different world. So whereas the 1926 system had included countries like Danzig, Siam, and the territory of the Tsar, we're now in a post-war world. So for the first time, we get an opinion on what a number plate should be, which is digits or digits and letters in the Latin alphabet and what they confusingly call Arabic digits, as used in United Nations documents. Now, Arabic does have its own set of digits, but I have checked the United Nations documents and they do all use the Western digits, so I guess that's right. Again, country on the elliptical plate. However, this means that, technically, all letters is invalid. So, if you could just go ahead and change that, that would be great. And indeed, they actually did. Although, in the 1968 Vienna Convention, America never signed it. So, in 1968, we get the newest convention, which says you can have digits, letters, or both. Latin letters, again, Arabic numerals, and biscriptal plates are okay, as long as the information is duplicated. And for the first time, we get the option to put the country on the plate. So this gives you the option of a sort of strip or a bit of text on the side, as long as it's at the front and rear. So who's ratified what? Pink is Geneva, 1949. Blue is Vienna, 1968. The UK actually only signed the Vienna Convention, but only ratified it in 2018 because of Brexit. And you don't got to hand it to the Tories, but on this occasion, fair play to them, because they did secure a reservation against Article 26B to preserve every UK citizen's God-given right to cross the road wherever the hell they want. I was not looking for a round of applause for the Tories, but there you go. It also means trailers have to be registered. There are still some countries in Europe that haven't ratified it, like Spain. So you'd need an oval plate if you go there. So what do we do about the non-Latin scripts? Well, one option used in Greece and countries that use the Cyrillic alphabet is to use only those letters that overlap. The Russian Y is a bit of a generous interpretation, perhaps, but it is unambiguous. So you get 14 letters for Greece and 12 for Russia. If you use a completely different writing system, you can just duplicate it, like on this Saudi car. There are only 17 visually distinct Arabic letters that they use, and they're mapped to Latin using a combination of phonetic values for some, so S for seen, N for noon here, and arbitrary letters for others, so V for the Aleph Maksura. In Japan, you can't use Japanese plates elsewhere, but you can get a special plate for use abroad. So if we take this car, and we look at its number plate, there's a three-letter code for each registration office, which is the kanji in the top row. In this case, Shinagawa is TKS for Tokyo Shinagawa, and the kana on the second row is HO, so that's HO, so TKS 302 HO 9124. And you can get these to use abroad, but not within Japan. And same goes with Thailand. As of 2008, you can get translated plates for a fee. The prefix characters are translated according to a list, and this would become 314725. But again, you can't use them within Thailand. You have to apply them on leaving and remove them on returning. But the previous option was to get a temporary plate that you registered when driving into, say, Malaysia. So it's a bit more convenient, maybe. But for non-treaty countries, it can be a massive hassle. For China, foreign plates are not recognized. You have to apply for a temporary plate within 2 days, if they even let you in. And the requirements are really onerous. And in fact, they don't even allow cars from Hong Kong and Macau in. So here's a car I spotted in Hong Kong. One country, two plates. The black is a Guangdong plate for foreigners. White is Hong Kong. Although there is a small update in that since 2023, Hong Kong and Macau registered cars can enter on a single plate, subject to pre-approval and a fairly strict quota. But on the topic of China, technically, it's not legal to use Chinese plates in the UK. I mean, they haven't signed any kind of international agreements anyway, and you should apply for a temporary Q plate if the registration uses non-alphanumeric characters, but I have seen a few. I spotted this camper van from Chengdu parked outside my local Tesco on a very long international tour. Less explicable, though, is this one I saw on the Thames Embankment a few months ago. How did you get here? Why did you bring a generic Toyota people carrier all the way from Harbin? I will never know. I've also seen some plates that are not actually illegal. So I was being the kind of person I am. Obviously, I look at this and I'm like, oh, that's a Shanghai number plate. These were parked outside the University of London one weekend, where the Art Deco Senate House was standing in for Shanghai for filming. And here's another one. The plates are very close, especially the police plate, but the typography isn't quite right, and I don't think there are any valid Chinese plates in the format on that Mercedes. But that brings us to typography. This is the old typeface used on most number plates in the UK until 2001. It was named after a company that developed it for die stamping plates in the 1930s. And this was modified to become mandatory, it's called mandatory or Charles Wright 2001. This is mandatory in the UK and Jordan. It's used in many places that don't have a mandatory typeface that are connected to the UK historically, like Ireland and Singapore. It's very similar to the previous one, but it's narrower, and it's got some serifs to make it harder to sort of falsify their numbers. This is mandatory for number plates in the UK, for new plates, even if the car is older, as you can see here. Motorbikes, tricycles, quadricycles get slightly smaller letters, but they're not just the same thing smaller. They're wider relative to their height, and they're thinner relative to their height. And I love Derry Girls, but a series set in the 90s should not have a post-2001 typeface on the number plate. That is unacceptably sloppy. So, in terms of popular fonts, of typefaces, one that's really popular in Europe is the DIN 1451. That's from the Deutsches Institut für Normung, the German Institute for Standardization. Comes in two variants, the three variants really, but there are two variants in use, the Engschrift, which is the narrow one, and the Mittelschrift, which is the medium one. This is used in many European countries. It was the typeface in Germany until 2000. It's used in Austria, Finland, Czechia, Hungary, Italy, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, Spain, Sweden. But the world champion is the Fälschungs- und Schrift, the Falsings and Difficultening Script, FE script if you prefer. This was developed in the 1970s in West Germany in response to the RAF. That's not the guys with the planes, that's the Rote Armee Fraktion, who were forging plates, the terrorist group. The characters are distinctive in a way that makes it hard to modify one into another, but the terrorism subsided by the time this sort of design was finished, and they sort of sat on the shelf until they were revived in response to plans for EU plate harmonization around the end of the century. They've been mandatory in Germany since 2000, and they're wildly popular. They're used in Abu Dhabi, Argentina, and the other Mercosur states like Brazil, Bolivia, Paraguay, Uruguay, Armenia, Aruba, Bahrain, Benin, Brazil. I'll just show you a map. So yes, basically everywhere in South America, a lot of Africa, a bit of the Middle East, and Southeast Asia, really popular. Plate sizes. So there's quite a variety here, but they do sort of fall into a few popular sizes. The most popular are probably the European and US sizes. Most countries in North and Central America use the US size, which is 12 by 6 inches or 300 by 150 millimeters. That's also common in the Gulf. The Europlate size, which is 520 by 110, is used in most European countries and in both Koreas now. China, Mercosur, and Australia sit somewhere between these. Japanese plates are unusually tall for their width. And then there's the two-row size used on Chelsea tractors. And also, some countries allow smaller front plates, like Italy and Switzerland. But there's lots of colonial and regional influence on number plates. Hong Kong uses basically the 1903 UK scheme with the yellow and the white front, yellow back color. Kenyan plates also look a lot like the 1963 GB plates, although they've since, I took this photo, they've standardized on the German FE Schrift. In the Republic of Korea, the format and size up until 2003 were almost identical to the Japanese system. Location and number on the top, so the right one says Seoul 34, the left one says Shinagawa 331, and Mu and Ho, they both got a sort of single syllable. You might think this was a hangover of the Japanese occupation of Korea, but actually the Japanese system was introduced in the 1960s, and relations are pretty poor. However, the Korean system has now been replaced with a European-style single-row plate. But You might think, it's just a number. But no, everything is politics. So in France, when they ran out of numbers in the old system, they moved to a new one. It's called SIV. The old system had two digits for the department. You can see that in very tiny letters in the car in the back there. But with computerized registration, there's really no need to have the code. So they got rid of it, and they said, you don't need to re-register when moving. And people kicked off because it was a perceived attack on national identity, which goes to show that the UK does not have a monopoly on this kind of behavior. So as a SOP, they added it as a strip on the right. But the weird thing is, it doesn't have any administrative purpose. You have to have one. The symbol must match the code, but you can choose any département you like. So it's just sort of decoration, really, but it's compulsory flair, if you like. Now, I remember the cost of a declaration of independence. I was in central London, and there were cars with Albanian flags tearing about the place, tooting their horns, singing and shouting. You know who wasn't delighted? The Serbs, and particularly the Serbian majority in North Kosovo. So Serbia doesn't recognize Kosovo. It's a very complicated subject. I'm not going to go into it here, but the issue of number plates has led to barricades, protests, conflict, car registration offices being set on fire, thankfully no deaths, Serbia refusing to allow Kosovo-registered vehicles into its territory, and vice versa. And, of course, there's Palestinians and Israelis. Palestinians get white or green plates, Israeli citizens get yellow plates, and cars with white or green Palestinian plates can't drive on the roads that you probably can't see very clearly on this map, but the yellow ones, and access to the red roads is restricted. Meanwhile, cars with yellow Israeli plates can drive on all of them. But sometimes we can use number plates for good, perhaps. In Korea, the Republic of Korea, people were buying luxury cars via companies to exploit tax breaks. So they introduced these ugly lime green plates for company-owned vehicles over 80 million won, which is about £40,000, in 2024. Bentley sales instantly dropped 82% year on year. Job done, you might have thought, but no, it was only short-lived because people are once again registering sports cars as company cars, and it's now seen as a sign of success. You can't, yeah, there's no winning, is there? So, finally, some random facts. Front plates were previously standard on motorcycles. They were mounted onto the front mudguard, and they were jocularly called pedestrian slicers. Perhaps you can guess why they're no longer fitted. In some places, people like to draw attention to their car being German. In Japan, I've seen the front plates bolted over a fake or an old German plate. Here, a Taiwanese driver has stuck stickers on each side to make it look like their registration is on top of an old German one. So, finally, what did I miss? North America, security features, Australian vanity plates, German number plates are ambiguous. To be or not to be? Where do you get them from? Who makes them? And what's next? Come and talk to me, info dump your own favorite number plate facts, I'll be at the tent. Hire me to check the number plates so you don't embarrass yourself like Dairy Girls. Contact me. I've got some links. I will just show them, and they're too small to see, so get them online later, and I will put them on my website. Thank you very much.